talk a little bit about some of the basics of canopy reflectance. And I also want to spend some time at the end here talking about the potential usage of these in grassland management, and the speakers that will be following me will develop that concept even further than I will. But just as an overview, I'm going to talk just briefly about some of the factors that affect leaf reflectance, and then in the broader context, the canopy reflectance. And then I'm also going to talk about the saturative relationship between reflectance and a given wavelength to some of the agronomic variables that we work with. Then thirdly, incorporating those reflectance values in multiple wavelengths and in terms of vegetative indices and those sorts of approaches. I'll talk about some of the successes in that realm and then also some of the shortcomings and the considerations of the weaknesses and the limitation of this approach as we look at how we could use this in a research or even a further setting. I want to just start with a brief image. And what we see in that image, of course, is a function of the reflectance off of that canopy. In this particular case, with a digital camera, we're looking at red, green, and blue combinations there for all intents and purposes. But basically, the fundamental equation that underlies that, of course, is that reflectance is a result of or estimated from the quantity of light that is intercepted by an object, Q sub I, and the proportional reflectance of that light by the object. And wherein we're talking about here, of course, is a canopy. So rho sub c is the fractional reflectance that is being reflected back. That's the proportion of that total amount that's being reflected back. And so when we look at an individual green leaf, of course, there's a pattern that develops here. This fundamental basic biology. We know that in the wavelengths here in the visible range, and I'll go ahead and bring those up, the visible range here ranging from 400 to 700 nanometers, of course, and then the near-infrared and the shortwave infrared wavelengths show some distinct patterns as well. These are related to basic biological parts of that leaf, leaf pigments. From the standpoint of chlorophyll absorption, obviously we're getting two absorption areas here where chlorophyll A, chlorophyll B, and the various pigments that are in the leaf are absorbing a pretty sizable amount of the light that's being intercepted. But they're also reflecting quite a bit, and actually in the green band here, or green wavelengths, if I get the cursor to come up, this is, of course, the reason why green leaves are green. But the more important thing to look at, and ones that we've kind of focused on from a forest quality standpoint, of course, has been looking at some of the structure issues, the fibrous components of that cell, and also from a water management, thermal imagery, and that sort of thing, water content with water absorption bands here in the shortwave infrared being important as well. So how does that reflect to a canopy? Well, let's take a closer look at this leaf, and we'll just set that leaf equal to 1. Now, this is a gross exaggeration, but basically, if you can fundamentally think about leaf area coverage of 1-to-1 soil surface to leaf area, this is essentially what you would get at a canopy. I'll show you some individual leaf area index values and what we get on some of these individual wavelengths in just a moment. But if I were to superimpose, again, a hypothetical amount of reflectance that we would get from the soil surface, it would look something like this. The brown here, you would see that at a leaf area index of 0, we get this kind of pattern in terms of reflectance. We get great depressions here, particularly in the red, and changes here in the near infrared as well. But what happens as we increase the amount of leaf area index, we go further in terms of absorbing more and more red light. We also reflect more near-infrared light. And this is where we have, over the course of time since the 1950s and 60s, developed indices that use this relationship, particularly how it's spreading further apart relative to the red and near-infrared range, to exploit the information that's there, extract that information. Fundamentally, this is the equation that's underlying that. And this is for a specific wavelength. Each wavelength will have its own values for each of these parameters, with the exception, of course, of leap area index and this A value that I'll talk about here shortly. So the fractional reflectance of a canopy at a given wavelength, rho sub c here, is a function of the limit for that canopy reflectance coefficient for that specific wavelength. In other words, at some point in leaf area index development, we no longer can get any more reflectance in a given wavelength, or any less reflectance in a given wavelength as well. Then we also are bracketed, and of course this is, refers to what I was just talking about there in terms of the limits, is relative to the leaf area index value of leaf area index prime, Monteith and Unsworth called leaf area index prime. That's not necessarily the maximum amount of leaf area that you're going to have. That's just the leaf area index above which you're no longer going to see a response or a change in the reflectance. That's an important point that we'll come back to in just a moment. Then rho sub s here, of fractional reflectance at the canopy floor, okay, and s being the soil, but it's also the other aspects of what is at the floor of the canopy, that also sets a limit in terms of, if we go back to that original spectral signature for the canopy and various leaf area index values, you see that at a leaf area index of zero, that's the reflectance that you would get. And of course, the two fundamental parts of what that we're most interested in, deriving some agronomic consequence of, is the leaf area index of that canopy, and secondly, the canopy attenuation coefficient, which, coming back from a physics, basic physics principle, Beer's extension coefficient, that's what the same analogous coefficient here that we're dealing with here. So from a perspective of looking at this from a bare soil, some amount of canopy coverage, in this case we're talking about a leaf area index of 1, a leaf area index prime here of approximately 2. And I'll talk about that 2 being somewhat of a magic number. It's not explicitly 2, and it's going to vary somewhat from crop to crop, but roughly that's what we've seen so far and what we've participated in, or what we've worked with. So if we look at a specific wavelength, in this case 660, we would draw a line here from 660 up to the soil line that I've drawn in here just hypothetically. Rho sub s then in that case would be 27. That mouse sure does not like to stay up. There we go. And then if we had a rho sub c for a leaf area index of 1, which is the black line that we're designating here, at 660, that would be approximately 12 here. And rho sub c prime would be equivalent to this gray line down around a reflectance value of 9. Same thing could be done for all of these individual wavelengths, but I want to point out that this is different, at least in relationship between whether it's increasing or decreasing relative to relative to that leaf area index prime value. In this case, we are increasing that fractional reflectance. In the case of red, we're decreasing that fractional reflectance. The point of all this is to say that primarily what we're looking at is a function with each individual wavelength of leaf area index and that canopy attenuation coefficient, which is that A values encompasses a lot of different things. Canopy architecture, leaf arrangement, a variety of other issues, and then leaf area index, which is one issue, particularly in forage crops, that can be a very useful tool in predicting yield and some other aspects of agronomic consequence, quality, so forth. Here's some examples out of, just pulled directly out of my dissertation, where we're talking about red reflectance and near-infrared reflectance as a function of leaf area index, and we basically superimposed Monteith and Unsworth model onto that to derive those individual values for rho sub s and then rho sub c prime, and looking at how that changed the differences between individual wavelengths. The one thing that I want to point out here is, before we go along, is the differences between these different wavelengths. Because in some cases we make a change here in the case of red reflectance from rho sub s to rho sub c prime, we're only making a change of about 0.02, whereas in the case of red reflectance here, or excuse me, near infrared reflectance, that's a change of almost an order of magnitude greater. This is important when we start integrating these different wavelengths, the responses of those in these vegetative indices, because quickly you can see that near infrared reflectance may dominate. So before we leave the aspect here of the relationship between individual wavelengths and reflectance in terms of yield and other agronomic characteristics, if we look at some of the literature or some of the work that has been done, Gron and Nutter in 2 years in Iowa over six harvests found the following relationships with these, the reflectance and individual wavelengths with alfalfa. And you can see a pretty good relationship there in the near-infrared reflectance values. You don't see such a good relationship with some of those others, particularly down in the blue and the green wavelengths. What we did is very similar. What I did in this particular instance is I stratified the yield values in 0.025 increments of 0.025 megagrams per hectare, stratified them in increments, and then looked at how the wavelengths differed in how they responded to yield here. So what we see here, again, just what they saw in Iowa, is that in the near-infrared wavelengths, we see a pretty dramatic increase, and then a plateauing effect here as we get higher in terms of yield. What you can't really see well here, but in the data it bears it out, that in the red wavelengths, we see a slight depression. But I want to emphasize here again, this is the difference in that order of magnitude. We're seeing a slight depression here and a great increase here. That becomes more important as we look at particularly the variability within each of those stratified categories, particularly in the red, in the blue and the green wavelengths, that peak in variability, in this case measured as CV, that peak there is what's causing that relationship with yield to fall apart. Whereas in near-infrared reflectance, even at low yields, we have a relatively low CV value. Now, getting back to this point of using multiple wavelengths. What if reflectance from multiple wavelengths are used? And this is, again, not a new process. This has been done and done and done and done many, many times. In fact, if you look at the literature, there are over 50 different combinations of these wavelengths in various vegetation indices. Usually this is a calculation as a difference ratio or some other linear combination of reflected light in visible and near-infrared wavelength bands. And as I mentioned, over 50 of those exist in the literature. Primarily, we have talked a lot about the second one in this list, which is one of the very first ones, that for what it was designed was very good. It was primarily designed for differentiating between what was not vegetation and what was vegetation. Not all that difficult, but when you're talking about some of the scale at which they were taking imagery at that time, was a very useful tool. Very useful tool. And it has been proven very useful in other avenues as well, nitrogen management, some other areas, in other crops. I think there's some room for improvement, and as we go along here, I'll talk more about one of those vegetation indices that can be improvement over that, which is a variation of that wide dynamic range vegetation index by Dr. Cattelson from University of Nebraska at Lincoln. We do know that from an agronomics perspective in forage crops that there are some relationship with these vegetation indices and various parameters. And I will just talk about a couple of those. This one in the case of this work done in California a pretty good relationship between those vegetation indices and canopy height. In fact, it was a very good relationship. He looked at 11 different vegetation indices and was very successful in relating those to canopy height. And some other work that was done from a standpoint of looking at predicting the actual mass, not just canopy height, but actual mass, and not only total mass, but leaf mass, stem mass, and even desiccated mass. Some work that Mitchell et al. Did, published in 1990. This actually is looking at two different solar zenith angles, and there are a variety of other things, obviously, that affect canopy reflectance, and of course, the angle of the sun is one of those major factors. In this particular case, it didn't impact them too much in the bottom line. The problem with this particular study, and I'm not pointing out their failures, but if we try to extrapolate this to larger amounts of mass, it's going to be kind of difficult because this particular study was under relatively low amounts of mass. This was in a grazing standpoint, and they rarely observed an NDI value greater than 0.8, which means they had not a whole lot of mass there, not a whole lot of vegetation. They were grazing it. They were keeping it in a vegetative state and thereby keeping it in an NDVI value below 0.8. And indeed, what they found was that when they increased stocking rates based on NDVI above 0.55, the lamb weight gains did not increase. Basically, there wasn't a great increase in the response there. Now, in some recent work that will be coming out hopefully this month in Crop Science, we looked at this relationship with leaf area index in a little bit more detail in some of these different vegetative indices. This is the top two graphs here are two different methods, two different tools, devices, Green Seeker and an incensor, the hydro incensor, for relating leaf area index to NDVI. And you can see that there is a little bit of a relationship there. Unfortunately, it plateaus pretty quickly. In fact, if you look at other indices, and we looked at about 20 all total, although I think only about 6 or 7 ended up in the publication. The blue NDVI, using blue rather than red in that equation, we saw very similar kinds of trends, although it wasn't nearly as good in detail. So what we did find, of course, is that there is that saturative response to increasing yields. And in fact, it saturates in both of those tools. Ironically, it saturated at basically the same spot, 1.83 megagrams per hectare, above which we saw no more change in NDVI. So we've got yields above that. We're not going to be seeing a difference in NDVI. So again, the problem here that we're trying to address is that these indices exhibit a saturative response. And in the case of NDVI, the reason for this, fundamentally from going back to the Monteith and Unsworth equation, is that there is a nonlinear response in the change in these individual reflectance values, how they change with an increase in leaf area index. So in other words, the change in near-infrared reflectance values for a given change in leaf area index is far greater, an order of magnitude greater, than the change in the red reflectance values. Given that, Dr. Gitelson proposed an interesting way of approaching that. What happens, he proposed, when we scale down the near-infrared reflectance? And in fact, what he did there was use a scalar, and he designated as alpha here, and that is a little bit of a source for consternation when you're trying to get something reviewed, because that's not a significance level or anything like that. But this alpha level is a scalar. It's just a simple number. In this case, I've used 0.1, 0.05, and 0.01. That basically slows the rate of that Y dynamic range vegetative indices increase relative to changes in leaf area index and, as a result, phytomass. So going back to this same equation, or looking at this in another way, here is where we basically saturated, about 1.83. If we look at how we were able to change that, and I'm going to superimpose that 1.83 line here, you can see that that saturation point, and by the way, we did a quadratic plateau function here to figure out where that joint point was. You can see that as we go towards zero with that scalar, we shift that plateau or joint point to the right, and what I designated yield max. In other words, the point at which, above which, you will see no increase or change in the vegetation index. As, of course, as I mentioned there, as that alpha level approaches zero, that widens the range at which they are responsive. In the case of yield max here, we're looking at 1.83 and 1.82 for the two NDVIs. We increase that pretty substantially and significantly by going towards zero. So just in summary, talking about some of the research aspect, using that fractional reflectance for a selected wavelength can potentially differentiate between bare ground and ground cover. Very useful, but not all that complicated, really, or all that informative. But we can, specify specific examples of specific wavelengths that will, because of their relationship relative to the soil and the rho sub c prime, or the maximum level, which direction it's going, we can pick a few things out. Shades of color, obviously, from a nitrogen management. And I think Scott Flynn, who's coming up next, or in a couple presentations later, we'll be talking a little bit about his work, where we could definitely pick out some animal waste deposition differences, patterns within pastures. It may or may not be very correlated with yield, because some of those are just going to be very variable, and be quite a bit of random variation associated with those. The other issue is, and I didn't took this slide out, but it must be calibrated for each individual cutting. Each of those wavelengths, will the response there, even though it's a relative value, is going to change quite a bit from cutting to cutting, primarily as a result of that A factor, that extension coefficient factor that's involved. Vegetation indices are, by definition, relative, and they are somewhat more robust than single wavelengths. However, when we forget about that fact that it does saturate, we can lose some of the value of that information. We can improve that, by the way, by scaling down the near-infrared reflectance response. Regardless, I think there are some limits that need to be placed on when this is going to be useful and when it's not going to be useful. Above that yield max value, we're not going to see a difference, and it's not going to be useful for us in that respect. But here are some of the ways that we're thinking and hoping to develop a little bit as potential uses for it. One is in South Georgia, where we're seeing a great improvement, a great development in terms of grazing dairies. And yes, you can grazing dairy in South Georgia. But one of the things that they do, of course, on a regular basis is they go out and do pasture walks to assess the amount of pasture mass that's out there. They track that in grazing wedges, tracking relative growth rate and time, okay? Trying to predict 2 weeks out how much pasture mass they're going to have in paddock X, so that they can change their various management aspects to become more efficient. Well, one of the things we're hoping to look at is, and as we develop our tools and develop a toolbox here, is to look at these reflectance values across that, basically mounting it on this center pivot irrigation system that we have, and then developing a map, basically, of those paddocks that are growing the fastest. How much is there, but how much are they growing? How fast are they growing? So that we can make management changes based on that. Ultimately, of course, it would be nice to have a yield map, and for other aspects of that too. This is a tool that might be useful for that, but I think there are other aspects beyond just developing yield maps and pretty pictures. With that, I'll entertain any questions that you have, and hopefully I've kept myself somewhat on time. Any questions?
Yes. Ranches typically full production of LAI
Well, you bring up a good point. Let me repeat the question for this is being recorded, so hopefully those of you that have a chance to go back and look at this. The question was, do you see the possibility, particularly with grasses, that the leaf year index may be as high as 8, 7 or 8, 9? Do you see the possibility of that, reaching that? Where does it plateau, basically? We don't really know yet for grass, or at least I haven't seen any data yet on the leaf area index, that where grass will basically saturate. It should be different than what I presented here, which is mostly alfalfa, which we're talking about a much different leaf arrangement. That's getting back to that A coefficient, the extension coefficient, is going to be quite a bit different. Nonetheless, it will saturate. Where it's going to saturate, of course, is a question, but it will saturate, I would guess, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 to 4, which is somewhat problematic, obviously, when we're spending most of that time in that grass development is going to be well above that time frame. So we do have some challenges that are ahead of us in terms of looking at those. And I really think we could look at a number of other wavelengths that may not necessarily be as quick to reach their limits. Nick? You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And I think that's one of the challenges, and I don't have a good answer for that. Unfortunately, I could, you know, look into the crystal ball and say I've got an answer for that. But that's an issue that we're not only going to face from a standpoint of management aspects, but, I mean, just the other day there was an announcement about the expansion of the pasture rangeland and I forget what the other acronym was in there, of the insurance program that the Risk Management Agency is putting out. The fundamental part of that is going to be NDVI values. So I think we really do need to get our heads around that one as